This
is the producers.
A podcast.
The biggest names in audio production.
Station sound.
Branding.
Radio imaging.
And voiceover.
Voiceover.
Like me.
And me.
Hey, and me.
Bitches.
Interviews.
Tips.
Tricks.
Advice.
Plus the dirty little secrets you always wanted to know.
Or not.
To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com.
Now.
There's a word I never say in copy.
The producers.
With Ryan Green.
Hey, hello. Ryan here again. Thanks for checking out the Producers Podcast as per usual. Episode 32. Really excited I reached the milestone of 32 episodes. But actually, this one turned out to be really cool. Paul Armstrong, the guest. It really started because the guys over at Benstown wanted to run a contest basically Christmas time, and they said, once we're done with it, we'd like to award a prize to one of their winners as being a guest on the show. And I said, yeah, that sounds great. Well, it turns out the guy who won that award is a guy who I was planning on talking to in the future anyway, so we just sort of fast-tracked that a bit. So again, Paul's interview is coming up. I don't have too much to say in the intro here. I will say, though, there are the occasional voiceover-only type talent that comes to this podcast from time to time. There's a real good chance that this episode might not be for you. I don't want to waste your time. We did get it a little bit into some of the filtering and compression techniques in part two, more of the tech speak, I guess. It's probably some stuff we've already talked about, but again, not too much on the voiceover side of things in this episode. We do a lot about Paul's background in production. We go into some of the ways of the world over on the European side. And then we do talk about theory behind producing, what goes through the producer's brain, some other stuff that I hadn't really gotten too much into before. And that happens in part two, mostly background coming up here in part one. So I hope you enjoy it. At the end of part two, I'll talk about some future doings. But otherwise, without further ado, let's hear some great stuff from Paul and then get into the interview.
XFM music.
From this. To this.
This
is XFM Music. XFM would like to apologize. For the month of August, we plan to bring you Bass Hunter as host of the next residency. Unfortunately, he blew us off. So these will have to do instead.
Hello, my name's Chris from the band Coldplay.
Coldplay presents the XFM Residency. For the month of August, Coldplay will, unfortunately, be playing you some of their favourite records.
Hi, this is Guy from Coldplay, and you can listen to us for the next 4 weeks, Sunday evenings at 9 o'clock, and we'll be playing some tunes and stuff.
Some band called Coldplay, who've sold over 33 million albums worldwide, present the XFM Residency.
Yeah, and we are back at it again, another episode of the Producers Podcast. And this one's kind of special in that my guest technically won an award to be a guest, but he's a guy that I already was planning on getting on the show. So it's serendipitous to have the one and only Paul Armstrong on the Producers. Paul, thank you for taking the time.
Hey, no worries. How you doing, Ryan?
Good. You're in London. I'm here in Dallas, Texas, and I believe we have no delay. I think we're sounding real good going back and forth here.
Technology. Hey, it's working for once.
So I like it. So what I'm doing this time, just for anybody who's curious, I don't like to hide the way I record these things, but I did an entire Skype interview one time, and I didn't like it. I thought the audio was bad. I just didn't like it. So this time we are speaking via Skype, but we're both going to record ourselves and then I'll put it together. And I think so far so good on this. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it should work. Let's well, we'll see, right?
Fingers are crossed.
I was going to say, if you're hearing this, it's worked.
Exactly. All right. So redefinedmedia.com. At least lately, I like to kind of throw the website out in advance. People can be checking your stuff out as they listen to the interview. We heard, though, to kick it off, an XFM demo. And that was actually a Sony award-winning entry. Tell me about that stuff we heard from XFM.
Yeah, absolutely. That was made a few years ago now. And I'm not sure if your listeners are kind of familiar with the Sony award entry, but it's generally, they ask for 30 minutes of audio that kind of showcases everything your station does. So from station promos to the news bed to the travel sequence to, you name it, you put it in there. So, as with all my production, I tried to have a bit of fun with it, as I'm sure you heard. It's a real mixed bag. It's kind of, some big, powerful stuff through to silly, irreverent idents. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about winning a Sony Award. What does that mean to a producer?
Well, in the UK, it's kind of like it's kind of seen as the radio Oscars, if you like. So, it's one of the biggest things in the UK. So it's obviously a great honor to be nominated and to win an award. It's nice because I think it's the one award in the UK that everybody takes seriously. So right through to, presenters on Radio 1 through to producers on XFM, through to BBC Radio 2. So, all these like heavyweights, if you like, of UK radio take part. And it's, as I say, it's kind of seen as the most prestigious and the award that everybody takes seriously. So it's a great honor to be nominated and to win one. So a bit of a cliche, but yeah, that's it.
Well, no, that's very cool. But as you're saying, it's not just for production then. These are awards that have wide range in categories, like a Chris Moyles could win a Best Morning Show type of award.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one reason why I think everyone kind of describes it as the Oscars, not just in terms of size, but it's a broad scale. So from music programs to entertainment programs to comedy programs, right through to station sound, individual promos, you name it, it's covered in there. So it's, as I say, it's a broad range.
And maybe just one more question on that for the younger listeners in the UK. What is the range? Where can you be living to win a Sony Award? And also, how does one get nominated?
Well, the nomination process, you're really testing me now, Ryan. I believe it's done about 3 months before. So I think the awards are generally held in May time. So kind of towards the beginning of the year, there's the mad rush of getting your Sonys in. So every station in the UK is frantically buying for more time and, editing down entries. So as far as winning them and being nominated, it's pretty fair. I mean, there's people have opinions that it's kind of biased towards the BBC and then other times commercial radio 1 year, then BBC the next. And it's almost like some people think they're balancing it out, but it's generally fair. The best programs do time after time get nominated because it's consistently strong. At the same time, a few years back when the XFM award was nominated, there was the name slips me, so I apologize, but it was a real small station that had just launched and it was clearly doing things correctly. In that, that the production values are high, the breakfast show was good quality, and they, for a small station, they cleared up. They were nominated four or five times, which is fantastic. So it's as I say, it's not only the biggest award, but it's also open to everybody. So it's kind of like almost like a dream award, if that makes sense. It's kind of, you can have the fantasy story of a small station winning a big award.
Is it just the UK or is it all over Europe? Or
it's just the UK.
Okay, great. Well, cool. So yeah, congrats again on the Sony Award. And that's one of the reasons why I know you were featured on the Benstown blog, but I had heard of you a little bit previous. So let's go back to your background. Now, basically, in 60 words or less, tell me where you started in radio, how you got started doing this, and then we'll find our way through your little story and we'll get you to today. But where did it all kick off?
Yeah, sure. Well, I started in radio around 2000. Straight from school. So I was very young. I was 16 years old and I was helping part-time with sports highlights and a sports show in a station in Nottingham, which is famous for Robin Hood, of course. And It was basically my day-to-day task was working on the sports show for live commentary and creating the sports highlights. So, you know, the goal montage at the end of the show, the halftime scores. So I got into radio that way, although the imaging was to come later. Eventually, probably about 3 months in, they introduced Adobe Audition, which was Cool Edit Pro at the time. I'm sure you can remember it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I started on.
And I started to build emotive packages for the sports show, as I say, the goal highlights, but also working with that piece of software under time pressure, if that makes sense, because obviously the game was going on and you knew that at the end of the show you had to have the package ready. So that's where I started, really.
Now, let me ask you, because it's funny when I talk to different guys that are, you know, either at legendary status or still just cruising along, but how much of your early audio do you still have?
Sadly, probably none of it.
Yeah.
That's really bad. I mean, I've never thought about that question, but that's the truth.
It's just weird to me because more people than not, I find, say that. You know, I talked to Brian Kelsey in the last interview, and I wanted some of his early work. Not even just from his early stations, but his early stuff at K-Rock. He's like, man, I can't find any of that. He's like, I don't. And I mean, it was almost impossible for him to find the stuff he did at K-Rock in New York City. And that's just kind of funny to me that we spend so much of our efforts being creative and creating the audio presently. And then we just kind of, it's just funny to me. So there's my tangent. I'll let you continue. So you start off kind of in the sports world, and then where do you go from there?
So as I say, yeah. So we, I guess radio was going through a bit of a transitional time, if you like, in terms of digital audio coming in and digital editing, and that, you know, very fortunately worked out well for me, being, I guess, the young whippersnapper, if you like,
yeah.
And you know, being able to use computers, kind of like second nature almost. So I slowly started to move into building the breakfast show promos, the odd SMP trail here and there, and. Over the course of, I think I was at the first station for 3 years, pretty much. And by the end of it, I was kind of not the station producer, but kind of unofficially resumed that role.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I say, at the end of the 3 years, I got a phone call from what was the, I guess, classed as the big station at the time for the network that I was in, because the station I started at was part of the Century FM network.
Okay.
So as I say, I was at Century Nottingham, and I then moved to Century Manchester, which was seen as kind of the network hub.
The flagship?
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
So during my time at Manchester, I was actually the station producer, and as that was the, I guess, as you say, the network hub, I kind of resumed responsibilities of making the production for the entire network, if you like.
Tell me about a network back there. So that's obviously a pretty good gig. You're excited about this. You're about 19 or so.
Uh-huh.
And you know, what kind of productions involved? How many stations are involved on the network? And did you have a staff with you, or was it just kind of you?
At the time, and I mean, it's crazy now to think about networks to this current day in the UK, especially with Global Radio and Bauer kind of taking over the world, if you like. But
yeah.
At the time, the Century Network was, I believe, 4 or 5 stations. God, I'm getting old. I can't remember where I worked and what I did. It was around about 4 or 5 stations. And in terms of networking, we did a fair bit of still local content. So it was kind of almost more local than network, if that makes sense. Whereas obviously today it's kind of majority network and then little local. So as far as the number of people working there, I was working in a team actually in Manchester with one other person. Who worked kind of beside myself, and then the kind of the head of the production, if that makes sense, was in Nottingham, but he also did other tasks as well. So it was kind of a weird setup. It wasn't very streamlined, if I'm honest with you.
Can you geographically, so I don't have to pull it up on a map because I'm lazy, how far is Manchester from Nottingham, and then the network itself, how far did that expand or the distance between stations in there?
Sure, yes. So Nottingham is basically kind of the center of the UK, if you like. Not the capital, obviously, but kind of the center in terms of geographically. Manchester is around 80 miles to the northwest. So probably the best way of thinking about it is that Nottingham was in the East Midlands, which obviously is in the middle. Century Manchester was in the northwest. There was then Century Northeast. And then there was a station on the south coast, which was part of the network as well, but that was called Ocean FM.
Now, can you, generally, you know, some people are weird about telling their age and whatnot, but if you don't care, you know, how you were about 19-ish or something when you went to this, but what year was this about?
I turned 18 there, or just turned 18. So, this was in 2000 and...
Okay. Because I knew you were a relatively young dude,
2003.
Doing your thing here, but, okay, so 03, you're doing some network radio. This isn't really that long ago, though. I would say in the States, radio was damn near its peak and then almost an instant collapse right around that time period. For instance, I worked for Clear Channel at that point and got this humongous bonus, and everything was just amazing. And then the next year, it was like, it was terrible. I mean, they were firing people left and right. Bonus, there's no such thing as a bonus. So I'm just curious what the industry was like at that point, you know, in the UK for you.
To be honest with you, I mean, I think age had a lot to do with it, and I sort of kind of not turned a blind eye, but didn't fully understand, if you like, just that's purely with an age thing, I guess. But it was pretty good, I must be honest with you. As in, you know, I've always been very lucky with radio stations where I've worked. You know, I've been fortunate enough to progress and go to bigger and better stations throughout my entire career, which I'm very thankful for. So if I'm honest with you, I saw the good side of it.
Okay.
At the same time, I worked with colleagues that kind of, you know, unfortunately lost jobs through redundancies and various cutbacks you mentioned there. And, you know, we kind of, the whole thing of, America sneezes and we catch the cold later. Mm. It's kind of it was a similar thing, you know. So not wanting to jump the gun with where my career took me after Manchester, but I then moved to another network altogether, which was kind of the Galaxy Network in Yorkshire.
Yeah, no, jump the gun, continue with that. So tell me about your next move.
Yeah, sure. So that was real fun. That was, first of all, a completely different station. So Century FM is the equivalent to Heart currently in the UK. So it's kind of, it's AC,
yeah.
it's fairly soft. It's a great station. Galaxy is, which is now part of the Capital Network, the Galaxy Network's become the Capital Network. So just to confuse listeners even more, I guess we'll talk about that later on.
Yeah, but that's the recent thing, right? Where Cap 95.8 became more of a network and they took over the Galaxy Network. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly right. Okay. So at the time, which was... these dates are hard to remember. 2004, pretty much, I moved over to the Galaxy Network as the senior network imaging guy. And that was a real fun station. So not only fun in terms of, you know, the actual day-to-day work, but it was a station that was growing. It was, great people working there. I think it was the first station outside of London to hit 1 million listeners for one area, which was just phenomenal.
Where was that again? I'm sorry.
This was Galaxy 105, which was based in Leeds.
Leeds, okay.
Which is in Yorkshire.
And so you it was still a network, though. Is that true? And how many stations would be on that network?
The Galaxy Network, when I was there, was 4 stations. It was Galaxy Leeds, Galaxy Manchester, Galaxy Northeast, and Galaxy Birmingham.
And so when you say... okay, so you're there, you're imaging Galaxy, or you're doing station sound for Galaxy. You're based in Leeds, but everything you do is heard exactly the same way on all 4 of those stations?
Yes, exactly. I was just going to say, this was kind of one of the good things about Galaxy. Well, one of the many good things about Galaxy was the networking there was, from my point of view, one of the kind of most streamlined and well done and well set up systems. So exactly as you say, if we made a top of hour for Galaxy Leeds, we would replace what would essentially be the call letters, and it would go out in Birmingham, it would go out in Manchester. So,
I definitely want to kind of move forward. I want to get to a lot more of your technical knowledge. So kind of bullet point here. Where you go from here in your career?
Well, at the end of 2009, I now run my own company, Redefined Media, and we do a number of things. But it was kind of running in parallel with my work at XFM and on the Big Top 40 at the time. And it kind of got to a point whereby Redefined Media was slowly taking over my priorities. And, you know, not just saying this for the podcast, but I was kind of trying to be as honest as possible with my employees, that not to let them down. So the second that Redefined Media took over those kind of responsibilities, I took the big step of kind of resigning, if you like, from those jobs and concentrating on Redefined Media. So we're now a year into this, into the full-time company, if you like.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's all good. It's hard work. We've just moved into new offices. We're working with some great clients, and, you know, here's the future, if you like.
The producers.